with Mo. My name is Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people over at julieland.com. Today, as always, I am joined by the man himself, Mr. Richard Avery.
Yo.
So, how's it going today, Dick?
It's going great.
Really? How good?
Really good, because Germany just won the World Cup.
Well, since we're not doing time with this thing, I guess we can say that.
Yeah, of course.
Or it could be, hey, a few weeks ago, Germany won the World Cup.
Exactly. Do you remember that day when Germany won the World Cup?
Remember when we were doing that?
Yeah.
That was good time. So are you happy about that?
I'm very happy about that because also Buster Posey just hit a Grand Slam for my Giants.
I don't really watch basketball, so I'm not sure what that does.
It's baseball.
So am I going to be able to pull you away from the iPads of sports?
Yes.
So today we're going to be talking about, I feel like I was a little dominant there.
I know.
Am I?
Yes, master.
Oh, wow. So I know very, very little about this topic.
Yes.
Dominance and submission.
Correct.
This is going to be an entertaining show, yeah. I know. Today I brought in Jimmy Broadway and Dee Severe.
Hello.
Hello.
I have scared them because they now know the rule about no talking before the thing.
Don't interrupt.
Wait.
See, he's being dominant.
I was dominant.
You were.
So no, but that actually, he doesn't do dominant. He does annoying. It's a different type of player.
Well, some dominants are annoying. That sometimes is combined.
Not mutually exclusive.
It's exactly.
I see how it goes.
There's dominant. There's annoying.
Is that how this one's going to go?
Yeah.
Okay. So how about you guys tell me a little bit about yourselves and then we'll go from there.
As a couple or professionally?
As a couple, professionally, kind of your 3-minute
We started
pitch.
Out as a, we actually met on alt.com. Mm-hmm. We were both lifestyle BDSM people. I was actually kind of a beginner lifestyle BDSM person. When I got divorced from my vanilla husband, I sort of realized, like, I really am kinky, and instead of trying to kind of date people I liked and then try to make them, encourage them to be kinky, I'm going to date from the kinky dating pool and find people I have some, like, other things in common with, which is how we met.
Yes. It makes sense, but that makes sense.
That was almost 16 years ago.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, 16. That's a long relationship.
We've been together for
16 years.
Yes, a long fucking time.
That is a long time.
Yeah.
And Jimmy, how did she sucker? Wow. One more time. How'd she sucker you into this?
There really wasn't any suckering. No. We just hit it off and
did you meet online?
Yes.
Yeah, we met through alt.com.
And you were on how long were you on alt.com?
A couple of months.
And how long were you on it?
It was on, previously, this was early enough where I was originally in LA Weekly Ads, and there I met, like, two guys, so for a while I had, like, two boys to play with, and that lasted for about a year until it petered out, and then a couple months later, I started those ads, and I got, like, 150 responses from alt.com when I said I was, like, an amateur dominatrix and, you know, was looking for somebody who wasn't just a hookup. I was, like, looking for a relationship. And you were, like, I mean, I was kind of, like, you know, kind of narrowing them down. And you were, like, emerged as the front runner in emails because you were, like, smart and, you know, involved in other things that...
It's like the Bachelorette, really.
Yeah, it kind of was.
You got the rose.
You got the rose.
And he showed up on his first date with a rose for me and rawhide bones for my dogs, which gave him really big points.
Oh. Dude, that's like huge.
The dogs would have eaten me otherwise. The first meeting at the door was Foster, who is a 95-pound Bernese Mountain Australian Shepherd mix.
Yeah.
And he was a big sweetie, but... When you're greeted with that at the door, you better have something.
Yeah, a little
temperum, because you have no idea where that's going.
Exactly.
Wow.
So you guys met. You've 16 years now. You've been together, and at some point in time, this was a lifestyle for you both. At some point in time, you decided to pick up a camera and introduce that into the lifestyle, or did it come after you?
That was something. Well, we were separately when we met. Jimmy was working and still works in mainstream live TV, and I was working as a freelance journalist, but I was also writing screenplays, and they were getting optioned, and I was kind of trying to write one that we could do like a low-budget horror movie with, and we were part of a short film collective where we crewed on each other's films, some of which did well in festivals, so we had that going on, and then at one point we were broke, and I figured, well... I'm going to get a part-time job as a dominatrix because we need extra cash. So I started working at Passive Arts, which is now Sanctuary near LAX. And the guy there had made a couple of DVDs, and he was looking to get into the DVD part of the business. So we were like, well, we do that. So we did a couple of movies for him and ran his clips for sale stores for 2 years and made all of our mistakes on someone else's nickel. Yay.
Smart move.
And yeah. then we went out on our own.
Wow. Nice. What's your company called?
Severe Society Films.
Love it.
Now, you do, without obviously naming names, things like that, you still work in mainstream.
Correct.
Now, has that crossed over into, has your personal life, your adult life here moved over into the mainstream where they know or they've heard or seen? Have you been approached?
There are some people that know. There are some people who have asked questions. And my approach to the whole thing is I'm not flaunting it, mm-hmm. but I'm also not hiding it.
Sure. Thank you. That's
so
what I do.
If, I mean, I'm not going to walk into a room and say, hey, by the way, I perform in porn. However, if during the course of the day,
somebody says, I saw you on something, you're like, yeah, that was me. It's kind of like the way I am
don't
about
deny it.
It.
I don't fight it or anything. No. I said, yeah. And if they tend to, you know, push it, I'll basically say, listen, you know, now is not the time, but mm-hmm. after the show, if you do have questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Awesome.
Okay, now going into this again, I've seen some of your work from some of both your work. We met, I believe, at a we don't talk about politics. I believe we met originally at a political event.
I think we might have, yeah.
I think that may have been a couple years ago. That's where we originally mm-hmm. and but I've seen some of the stuff through Clips for Sale. Now you're typically, from what I've seen, more submissive.
Correct.
Now taking that from the real world work, if somebody does see you in that position through porn. Would that make you feel differently if somebody said, I saw you as this, as opposed to, I'm just a normal dude in porn? It's obviously a different reaction than, say, Tommy Gunn, who, you know, yes. a male performer. Mm-hmm. Do you react to that differently? Is there any sort of issue with that?
No, because if they've seen my work, they're looking at that kind of material.
Exactly.
It's not... I mean, because I'm in fetish, it's a lot more niche. It's a lot harder to find, a lot harder to stumble upon. And the companies I'm working for, you know, in addition to our own, are a lot smaller. Smaller marketing budgets, smaller distribution, things like that. So, I mean, you're not going to see me out in Pirates 3.
Exactly.
Or... you know, something like, you know, any of the Axel Braun superhero parodies.
So in theory,
not that I'm adverse to doing any of those. It's just I haven't been asked.
So in theory, if somebody came across you, they were looking for something
odds
that
are,
they were into.
They were looking into.
Cool. That's
something
I mean,
like
which is always, you know, because there are a lot of people who are really afraid of being, you know, outed in the real world and, you know, of going, oh, you work in porn, and you being still in mainstream. That, I mean, I can imagine that would be some sort of fear.
No, because there are enough people that just couldn't care less.
Yeah.
That if it impacts at all, it's going to be fairly minimal.
Nice. Now, you are submissive.
Yes.
And is that always? Meaning on camera or?
In sexual terms, yes.
Okay.
It's a balance to dominance in other areas of my life.
And are you always a dom?
Yes.
Always.
Always.
Now, not to go too far into your personal life, but does that relate to home?
It does. It only relates sexually. It's kind of like the rest of the time, we're a regular couple. We're also business partners.
Sure.
You know, and we have different, you know, like there's some areas kind of where he's the boss. There's some areas where I'm the boss in terms of, you know, he's more production, I'm more post-production in terms of the technical abilities we have. So, you know, we kind of take charge of those, you know, various areas. When we play, I'm the dominant.
Okay. So, I mean, it's just like anybody else. You have a sex life at home that's your sex life at home, and the rest of your life is just your life. I mean...
Exactly. I mean,
for the most part.
I know some people, there are couples who live kind of a master-slave relationship 24/7, and good for them, I don't get it. Like,
yeah.
I can't see doing that.
I get it, but the work level on both parties... parts
yeah.
is just so tremendous. I couldn't
it's
do
just,
it.
Exactly. It just seems like it's just too much. Like I would be like, because like anything in life, variety is the spice of life. I mean, whether it's sexually or in work or anything, like I can't imagine always being the dom and always being the sub and like 24/7. Like,
it's like, a lot.
Yeah,
it's really a lot.
The people I know that live the lifestyle, which I've known for years, they seem to have good, healthy relationships like anybody else.
And I'm always like, whatever makes you guys happy is good with me. Like, if that works, it works. But I can't imagine being living and breathing it 24/7.
Yeah, see, I deal with, you know, my girlfriend works in porn. And, you know, when she comes home, she's not Alex Chance anymore. She's my girlfriend, you know? And so I look at it and, you know, we're out in places. She's Alex Chance. You know, we go to an event. That's her. When we come home, that doesn't come out. And every so often, it's actually funny, is she'll put on the porn voice. Or she'll put on something. I just look at her and go, yeah, don't do that. And she does the same thing to me, where we'll be in a disagreement or something. And she'll go, don't talk to me like you're a producer. And it would be like, whoa, okay. So I can imagine that, you know, you have a normal lifestyle at home that you do this. Now, if he was to become, let's say, if you decided you switch over, you're going, I'm going to be the dominant one. Fuck this. I'm done with this. I want to be dominant. Would that butt heads with the relationship or the work relationship or anything? Or would it?
There are some things I would be willing to experiment with. Like, I'm not interested in being submissive. I could be possibly interested in being masochistic and kind of play with, like, the endorphin high of, like, physical pain. Like, I've had, like, doms do, like, needle piercing on me. And I kind of liked that. And, like, when I've, like, practiced whips and have accidentally hit myself, like, I could see where, like, okay, that was kind of interesting. Like, I can see that physical rush thing being kind of interesting. So I would be willing to experiment with that. There's other things, like, I'm really claustrophobic, so I really would not like to be in, like, heavy bondage, like, ever. I think it would really freak me out. So it would definitely be kind of a negotiating thing of, like, we could do this, but not that. But, I mean, I could, you know, I'd be up for it.
I'm right there with the bondage. Yeah. I would not do well with that.
Yeah, it just would wig me out.
And I did cringe, and I saw you. You called me out. When you did the needle, I can't do needles of, like, even in shots. Mm-hmm. I have to go get tests, anything. Needles freak me out. I can't handle that.
You're such a puss.
No, I was okay. Wow. It doesn't really hurt that much. It was just kind of interesting. But it wasn't.
To me, I think it's more the visual. I can't.
Would you do the suspensions, the hooks?
No, suspensions. This was just like little needles. And it was somebody who really was like a very experienced dom.
How did you learn to be a dom?
When I first started out, this was like in the mid to late 90s. I actually went to like the old creepy adult stores, like the guys with the raincoats kind of stores. Where I would be like the only girl, and I would go in and I would get like bizarre video DVDs and rent them and kind of bring them home and kind of go, aw. And then I kind of started hanging out at clubs. I started reading stuff, you know, and then, you know, we started going to, like, once we hooked up and we were like a couple, we started going out more. We started going to like fetish play parties and we joined Threshold. And like, I took classes from Sabrina Belladonna and Ilsa Strix, who were like famous doms who are now no longer working.
Retired?
Sabrina passed away a while back. And Ilsa is... She's in a very serious relationship where he's her only partner now.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Nothing lasts forever.
Yes. So I took classes, and then kind of once I started kind of working at a dungeon, you know, I kind of took the opportunity to learn from, you know, I took whipping classes at one point from Sir Nick, who's probably like the best whipper ever that lived. Yeah. He's like been a performer in a number of things.
Because I've been around doms for 25 years now, and I think the first time I ever shot anything like in the BDSM, whatever you want to call it, world, it was always like I started meeting these doms, and it was like an education for me. I'm not into it at all, but it was always because I'm curious and I want to know everything. So it was always fascinating what I'd learned, and I would talk to them and all the different ones. And it wasn't, I think I would say the best education I ever got was from Claire Adams and from Aiden Starr, two girls who just...
Aiden actually co-directed our big movie that we're about to release.
Oh, and Aiden, she's awesome. Like, Aiden knows everything about everything.
She's awesome.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Love
her. And she's also... I always say what I love about Aiden, because I would always ask like the dumbest questions, because I'm just like, so what about this and that? And she wouldn't like, she'd be okay with like, oh, she wouldn't laugh at me. She'd go, well, there's this, and this is why you do this. And this is, I mean, she taught me so much. Like between her and Claire, I probably learned the most from. And then my neighbor used to be Bobby Starr, and Bobby then taught me a shitload as well. So I always tell people, like, I know all about it. Yeah. It's just not my thing. Which was really weird.
No, this is gonna be, I've been sitting here as you've been talking, because I typically ignore everything you say.
I know.
So I've been going with this question very delicately.
Go ahead.
We'll see how this goes. Wow, this is gonna be fun. So let's discuss age.
Okay.
Can I go middle age?
Yes.
Middle age couple? Yeah. Okay, cool. I was like, we're distinctly listen, middle-aged. I was going with old. You're an older couple, and I felt that, shit, that's going to go badly. So
we can go middle age.
Okay, you're a middle-aged couple. But, I mean, typically when you look at pornography right now, if you go just straight, you have the young girls. Mm-hmm. You have the kind of 21 to 25 that kind of is there. Then it kind of drops off until you get MILF status or cougar status, which is 33 to 38, maybe 40. Then you're done. Essentially, unless you're Nina Hartley, meaning in the typical mainstream porn world. Now
you haven't seen GILFs.
I've seen a few GILFs, but I'm going with the typical what you would see in most. You know, if you're going to go with the Wicked, the Adam and Eve, if you go with the big mainstream porn. Now, but what I have seen in a lot of the, you know, the bondage, the domination, and I see older women and women in their what I guess would be their 40s or 50s. Is it an age thing where if it's a 19-year-old girl that they wouldn't be taken seriously doing this? Whereas
it's skills also. It's just because you put somebody in latex and give them a flogger does not make them a dom.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of like really good doms have a lot of skills, and that took years. You know, it's you know, akin to like playing pool or playing the piano. I mean, it's a real. A lot of these things are like real skills that require practice and stuff. So you don't get that instantly. And there also is, I mean, to be the dominant person, you know, you need to have that kind of life experience and to be able to, you know, command. You know, kind of that said, I do think there is a point where you need to kind of shift your look. It's kind of like, I'm kind of semi-retired now. I'm much more interested in directing and editing, but I still, like, I find that for us, like, the older woman authority figure spanking really young girls sells like crazy.
Exactly.
So I do a lot of those, you know, I am like the Wicked, like, we have sadistic mother-in-law, which is like, sells like
that's
crazy
so good.
I love that.
We've got two of them. We've got a script for a third.
Yeah,
so
people love sadistic mother-in-law. People like, you know, the nasty boss, you know, like tormenting their secretary who was caught embezzling, who really, really needs a really big spanking and that kind of stuff. So I tend to do, like, at some point I stop. I think at some point you have to stop, like, being out there in, like, lingerie and stockings and trying to be the sex bomb dominatrix and start being, like, the scary authority figure dominatrix. But I figure that stuff, I can be an old lady.
Sure.
You know, I can be a 70-year-old lady and beat the crap out of cute little girls.
Yeah.
And it will still sell.
Well, I would go with, you know, you're talking about girls, but you could have guys. I mean, you put an 18-year-old boy into that situation.
Yes.
There are dudes out there that are going, I want to be beaten. I mean, it's not even necessarily the sexual, I want to see a naked boy.
I think
it's
more,
the concept
I think
of,
more boys now want to be beaten and pegged and everything, more now than ever, because they're seeing that stuff. Like I always say, when I was growing up, I never saw anything like that. Now there's a whole generation growing up with all these crazy things that they're going to go like, yeah, I'm into that. I want to try that.
Now, do you guys film pegging?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's actually our best thing.
Oh, really?
It's like our best selling deal.
And so are you performing or just filming?
Both.
Both.
Both. Well, there you go.
We've been very fortunate. We discovered a performer named Slut Bottom Chris.
I have heard of him.
And
you're like, the
he's famous.
He's very entertaining on Twitter. I have found him to be very entertaining.
He's a very intelligent, respectful person, has a very successful day job. We discovered him when we were shooting our American Idol parody, Strap on Idol.
And
does Fox know about this?
They do now.
Yes,
I work for them. I'll let them know.
Basically, we put an ad out in FetLife to get like extras because we figured we needed some people for the first round that were just going to be naked and humiliated and have to leave. So Chris was
one of the bad audition people.
So Chris signs up for this and he comes there and he says, "Well, you know, if I make it past the first round, could I use my own dildo?" And we figured, well, it's like a sanitary thing. So we say, sure. And?
And he pulls an 18-inch monster thing out of his bag, and we're like, okay, you're probably going to make it to the second round.
Exactly. So you win!
Yes. Actually, he did win, and he did a double anal.
Because we shot him with his dildo in the second round, and then it's, oh, crap, wait a second. we've still got one more round to go. How do we top this?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So he throws out, well, we could always do a double. And we're like, okay, I guess we can. And for those of you who shoot porn, a double anal with two girls and strap-ons
is hard.
Lot harder than a double with two guys.
We've done it more successfully in our upcoming movie, Strap-On Revenge. But the
bodies are different. Yeah, the strengths are... I mean, poor Cinnamon Love was there on the bottom of the sandwich, and we were like, don't crush her.
Randy.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't crush her.
Wow.
Now, I followed him on Twitter, and it's one of those things that I find him to be... entertaining because, listen, I like watching girls put huge things up their butt. And I admire the fact that they can do it. I don't do it. But even him, you look at it and go, I don't know how the fuck that he could take this water bottle and shove it up his butt.
But he
and
could.
Go, and probably crush it and spit it back out in the recycling can and go, ta-da. And I'd be like,
bravo.
Well played, sir. You know, I mean, and so it's not even a sexual attraction. It's more like just, it's fascination.
It's a circus.
It almost goes to the sideshow type person where it's like, that's a trick. That is something.
Yeah, like I saw some girl online that does crazy stuff like that too, that she does like this amazing, just all of these insane things that
Shauna?
She puts
up. What's,
I don't know.
What's
just
her name?
I don't know, but she puts all this stuff in her butt and does like, it's like ridiculous. And I'm just sitting there just going like, it's like it, you don't get sexually turned on by it. You're just like, wow, man, high five.
Yeah, no.
I can't even believe you're thinking about doing that. But like I've always said to everybody, like, at what point did you even think about doing this? One day I was at Starbucks and I just thought about sticking up a Starbucks jug up my ass. And, you know, like, that's just crazy.
Now, and Jimmy, going back to that, speaking of age, and at what point did you find that you were cool with pegging? That you were like, hey, I want to give this a try?
20 years ago.
Because Mo wants to, right?
No, I don't think I do. But again, it's one of those things of if somebody said, hey, eating this is the, you know, eating cow heart is the most amazing thing in the world. I look at it and go, not really. No, I'm good. I'm going to trust
today.
You. There's certain things. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Not today. There, it could be the most amazing experience. I'm just not. It's not what
I would tell you, though, if you're going to try it, now's the time to try it with your girlfriend.
There's absolutely no way I would ever give her that much power. There is zero chance. And I heard she did a pegging video with a male talent, and photos have come up from it that come through Twitter that I'm like, okay, that's a little weird for me because I know her at home. Again, I don't know her as...
But we want to do that with her because we love her. We want to work with her some more.
No, go for it, just as long as it's not my butt. Okay. But then again, it's one of those things if, you know... Let's go with if Asa Akira came up and said, Mo, we're going to give you an experience. It's not on camera. Nobody has to know. Things like that. It'd be like one of those where you go, do I just give this a try?
Yeah.
Do I just say, okay, no, I can walk away from this. This is okay. Who knows? Maybe. But it's just, it's not, as of right now, it has no interest to me.
P.S. If you are going to do it, you should kind of work with having like a butt plug in because you can't go from zero to a full on dildo in your butt in one.
Yeah. I've seen
start small, get used to things up your butt, then get a little bigger one. You know, it's like a gradual.
Lots of lube.
No, and I've seen that when Alex started doing anal for scenes and stuff.
Yeah,
I started seeing Mike Adriano, I guess, sends out to all the girls this graduated butt plug dilator kit.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
all the girls, it's this blue thing, and all the girls, I'm working with Adriano.
Well,
and it's, and I
yeah,
saw
you
it, and
it's
like,
do it
and
that
that's
way.
What
otherwise,
she did.
Ow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so
there's
I
a great,
that.
Just to plug it, but Phoenix Marie wrote a great blog post on doing anal sex on my website, Porn Star Life Coach. It's like the number one post on there, like thousands and thousands of views. But literally, it tells you everything you need to know about anal sex.
And actually, Alex went to that.
Did she?
So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Good for her.
So, what I was going to go is, did you find this out in your private life? Was it on camera? Did you...
Private life.
Private life. It was just, hey, let's give this a try and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It was, and at that time in my private life, I was dating a professional dominatrix.
Mm-hmm.
This was 5 years before we met. And we actually met at a party. I had never been a client of hers, but we hit it off and we're in this. And one of the things that, you know, I brought to the relationship was I want to try a lot of stuff.
Sure.
I trust you. I know you know what you're doing with a lot of these things. And there are very few things that I am just going to just completely dismiss without at least considering it and maybe attempting it.
Sure.
And that was one of them.
No, that's a fun thing.
Isn't it trying, and I mean, that's what it's all about though, really. I mean, yeah. It's experimenting and doing things and trying. And if you find somebody you can trust, it's even better.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know?
So, let's go business-wise, relationship-wise, everything. Where do you guys see in the future? Where do you think you're going to be, say, 10 years down the road? I mean, industry-wise, personal life-wise, I mean, is this a lifestyle that is forever?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, professionally, I'm really hoping that we will get a bigger distributor and our company will expand and, you know, grow. And because we're in this for kind of forever, you know, like we hope that we get more studio rentals. You know, hopefully we won't have to move to Vegas. Yes. But if we do, I suppose in 10 years we will, you know, like end up buying a house in Vegas so we can do studio rental sure. stuff in both. Right. But that's getting into politics, so we don't want to do that. I love what we do. It's awesome. It's so much more fun than mainstream film, and it's great.
Nice. And I mean, when we went into it, we were sort of looking at it as the retirement plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny how a lot of people say, well, I'm gonna do porn for a couple of years or 10 years or whatever, and then I'm going to get out and everything. We took the opposite approach. We got into it because basically we get to own our own product mm-hmm. and continue to sell our own product, which means we will generate an income with our product.
Sure.
After, I mean, if we stopped shooting now, yeah, we wouldn't make as much money, but we would continue to generate income for years.
Exactly.
So that's kind of been the approach to it. This is something that will keep going and keep us going.
I don't want to retire. I mean, I can see like not wanting to do like some of the more active things, but I mean, I can literally like edit film on my deathbed. You know what I mean? Like, I love this stuff.
Exactly. So. No, I'm there with you. Like, I always tell people, like, I always tell artist mind, creative people, like, you don't really all of a sudden retire and then what? Now I'm just going to go sit out and by the pool and do nothing for this. Like, well, I'm going to work till I drop.
I've tried playing golf and I hate it.
Yeah. And I just have always felt like, you know, I always tell people, like, I'm kind of love what you're saying, because I always tell people the same reason I started Julieland was because I wanted to have some fun, I wanted to be creative, and I didn't want to answer to anybody.
That's exactly it.
It's like, you don't like exactly it. I always tell it. My rule is, if you don't like it, don't look at it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. It's like, it's a freedom of choice, but I don't have to answer to anybody.
Exactly.
I make what I like.
Yes, you do. And I've seen it. It's amazing. Well, I really appreciate you both coming out and doing the show. And where can we find you out on the interwebs?
SevereSocietyFilms.com has the links to all of our stuff. Most of our stuff is also on Hot Movies, Fetish Movies, and AABN. You can find our DVDs around. We have 4 clips for sale stores that are linked from our thing, but it's easiest to just go to SevereSocietyFilms.com and link from there.
And on social media?
She is Severe Society, and I am at Fetish Director.
Very nice. Now I can see how you guys are going to survive off this for a very long time, because you have every possible distribution model.
Not yet, but
looking
we're
for a bigger distributor.
You can find it anywhere.
You guys, it's like, go to here, and it's everywhere.
Yes, it is.
Well, we kind of took a page from one of the mainstream companies I work for, and their approach is, if we produce something, you can watch it anywhere.
Yeah.
We're distributing it domestically, we're distributing it foreign.
I've put it this way for years now. It's like it's like they always say, like, it's either do you do A, the internet, B, TV, C, you know, movies, D, you know, pay-per-view. I'm always like, no, it's E, all of the above. You do them all. And because I work in mainstream as well, I use them as my business model for everything. Like, I watch what, you know, you watch what these networks do. You have to, because it's the way to do it. It's like, you just do them all. You do them all. You have to have it available everywhere.
Yeah.
It makes the most sense. I mean, isn't like a lot of the companies doing that now?
Yeah, a lot of the companies. What I'm finding fascinating is some of the TV shows. AMC is very much with, I watch Halt and Catch Fire, and I'm going to be watching that tonight. And their instant thing just before the show is follow along on your other device for a live thing. So you're watching the TV show, but at the same time, you're going through their website and looking at and talking about it, all your different things. They want you to tweet about it. And so it's this almost like little world within that hour worth of episode. Yep. And it immerses people into it. And now it goes back to, instead of the water cooler, which we don't typically have at offices anymore because of everything is on Twitter. You don't wait till the next morning to talk about the show.
Plus there's a drought here in LA, so we don't drink that much water.
We don't drink water. But yeah, I mean, it goes back to that. And I think it's always a good distribution, you know, distribute everywhere. So again, thank you so much for coming down.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
My name is Maurice. This has been More with Mo. You can find me on Twitter at MoXXX or Mox, as Mr. Avery likes to call me. You can also check out my blog, theaveragemo.com, where you can see all sorts of fun photos, videos, and you can listen to this show. Thanks for listening.